Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Tuesday, the 10th of December, 2024. Do you know what's slightly annoying? You know when you get things that are not hugely annoying, but slightly annoying? Like, for example, if you're in a rush and there's a slow walker in front of you, you know, you can't get past them. Or when I'm walking the dog, for example, right, and my socks get wet. I hate that. And I hate wellies. So don't wear wellies. I always wear trainers. And I should wear wellies in this weather. Also, what's really annoying, or slightly annoying, not really annoying, slightly annoying, right, is when you're in a car and someone wants to pull out from a junction and you let them out, you flash them out, you know, and they take too long. Or they're waving too much to say thank you, you know. Stop waving. Just pull out, you fool. What's slightly annoying as well is that my book is sold out on Amazon, which is slightly annoying because now people are not getting delivery until the new year or after Christmas, which is rough. And do you know what Amazon do? The tricky tricksters. They say, arrives after Christmas, need a gift sooner, send an Amazon gift card instantly. Anyway, so if you're trying to order the book, I do apologise. I've been on to the publisher, Harriman House, and they're sorting it out. Amazon under-ordered. But the good news is, it's been a week now since book publishing. I've had 11 five-star reviews, so thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, if you've done that. But if you go to my website, sharepickers.com, and go to the book, there are other outlets you can buy it through. And I'm assuming they've not understocked, but Amazon have. So I do apologise if you have ordered it and you're waiting for that. But thank you very much for ordering it. And as a gift to you, like I said, if you want to join the Share Pickers Investment Club, then you can do that with a 50% discount, only available to the first 100 people, and that figure's counting down. So that's a conversation there. But thank you very much if you've bought it and you've given a nice review for it. Okay, let's look at the markets. And it's a bit bearish today, isn't it? I've had a couple of alerts just now. Why are these alerts popping up here on my charts? I always put lots of alerts. Every night I go through my alerts. I reset them all. And then you have a frenzy of alerts the next day. But anyway, here's the markets. FTSE UK 100 is down 0.6%. There's a lot of bearishness about this this China's investigation into NVIDIA, anti-competitive marketing, pricing, and all that. Why? Who cares what China do? It's nuts. NVIDIA's rolling over because of that. But FTSE down, was it? 8301, down 0.6%. FTSE 250 is down 0.5%, 20,942. FTSE small cap, what is that? It's down 0.36% at 6922. And the AMOL share, where is it? Oh, it's also down 0.25% to 739. It needs to get back above that 740 level. By the way, I've invested in the top 10 companies on the Microcap League on my website. And since I started doing this, which is in September, these investments, I put £1,000 into 10 of them, are outperforming the FTSE small cap, the AMOL share, not hard, and three small cap fund managers as well, who are highly regarded. And, you know, major outperformance. So, you know, even on the fund managers, like about 8 to 10% above them. So, so it's working out. Okay, let's have a look. Bitcoin, bit of a fall off yesterday. It dropped dropped about 4% yesterday, and it's now touching the 20-day moving average. In fact, it's just bouncing on that. Now, last time Bitcoin hit a new high, okay, and crossed over the 20-day moving average, and this was back in March 24, 13th of March there, it hit, 75,000. After it did that, okay, hit a high, then crossed down over the 20-day moving average, it basically trended in the lower trend channel range for 213 days and went down to sort of, I think the lowest was around about 54,000. I'm not saying that's going to happen now, but it's interesting to see that the weakness has been settling in here, because I did say a few days back, Bitcoin was featured on the 6 p.m. news, the BBC news, the primetime news slot there. And I thought, whenever that happens, then it's a turning point in the market generally. And I'm not saying the BBC. Generally, when you get mainstream media covering market events, it's almost a turning point. It's like when you see like the FTSE 100, for example, hitting an all-time high and being reported on mainstream media. It's not far off the top, because everyone's in, and all of a sudden you get new investors coming in, and they tend to buy the top of the market when everyone's talking about the market. No one talks about the market at the bottom, you know? And so whenever you see mainstream media say, and the market, billions and billions have been wiped off the market today, give it a few days and invest if that's reported on mainstream media, because it's normally a good contrarian view. Brent crude futures down 1.25%, $71.83 a barrel. It's not really value. It's a bit worrying that we've all this war in the Middle East, the trouble in the Middle East, and yet, Brent crude hasn't rallied at all. It says something, doesn't it? And if you look around the world, even in America, there's been a manufacturing recession on. I think, why does that happen? Well, of course, they're producing less goods. So, well, it may take a while because there's inventory build-ups, along the line. But if they are making less, surely there's been consumed less, been ordered less, then that shows a slowing economy, even though the markets and everything else is holding up. And of course, the American markets, you've got to look at it, if you can detract or take away the Mag 7, then the market hasn't really performed. In fact, the Russell 2000 is starting to perform a bit better. What else is there? There's gold. It's up just shy of 0.5% to 2,697. There's copper down 0.6%, and that's at $9,370 a ton. What else is there? There is dollar, pound. A pound will buy you $1.27. £1, sorry, will buy you $1.27.55. A pound, the chart, the pound against the euro, looking really strong. That's a cracking up trend. Literally, from, I'd say back in August, it dipped below the 200-day moving average, but it's really rallying. And so now, a pound would buy you €1.21, sorry. 10-year yield is just above 4.3%. Anything else there? Have I missed anything? Come on. I've got a feeling I missed some commodities out. Okay, let's look at some macro news. By the way, if you're wondering what this podcast is, then I cover macro news relevant to the UK and monitor microcap stocks. These are stocks that I define as below £100 million enterprise value, pretty much, with revenue, to see if they're good enough. All I do is see if they're good enough to be admitted to the microcap league. These are where I've analysed hundreds of companies. They're then analysed and scored in relation to their growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, potential. And if they score highly, they'll be on the league. There's only about how many companies on there now? We do a weekly webinar with the club, and we analyse companies' results out, and we remove some. 36 companies on there. And you know what? There's some need to come off as well. Because I know you probably don't think it, but there's not, honestly, 30 good, great, and exceptional companies on AIM. Sub 100 million, I'm talking about. There are above that. But there's a lot of rubbish on AIM. Story number one, job vacancies fall faster in the UK than anywhere else. This is from Reuters. This is Indeed. Job vacancies have dried up faster in the UK than any other similar countries over the past year, recruitment platform Indeed said today, adding to signs of a loss of momentum in the British economy in the second half of the year. Indeed's data showed that as of November 29th, there were 23% fewer jobs advertised on its platform in Britain compared with the year earlier, a sharper decline than the 14% drop shown in official data, which covers the August to October period. Now, this is, do you know what? The jobs data of the ONS, we know, is a bit sketchy. They're having problems. So I suppose the real test of job recruitment, of course, is on recruitment sites, isn't it? So this is probably more accurate. And that drop is very scary. 23% fewer jobs. And job vacancies were 12% lower than before the COVID pandemic. While France did only slightly better with 22% annual decline, other comparable countries, including US, Germany, Ireland, Canada and Australia, had falls in a range of 5 to 15%. Indeed, data shows a steady fall in vacancies throughout 2024, but businesses' concerns about hiring have become sharper since when? Yes. Reeves's budget, and she announced a £25 billion, £22 billion black hole, fix the foundations, black hole. Idiots. They are like robots, aren't they? I'm sure, honestly, if you'd peel back the face of Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer, there'd just be sort of, you know, wires and computer chips in there. They're like a, you know, I was going to say high-end AI model. I don't think they are that high-end, because they've only seemed to have about 10 stock phrases, don't they? Smash the gangs! Put more pounds in your pocket! Story number two. A quarter of small businesses concerned they cannot weather financial shocks. This is from City AM. Small businesses are struggling to match growth with consumer demand, while a quarter are worried they do not have the strength to weather financial shocks, according to a new survey. HSBC's research found small and medium enterprises are increasingly being held back by business and borrowing costs. And remember, small and medium-sized enterprises make up the backbone of growth in the UK. Over two-thirds of business owners said they could not grow their business enough to meet customers' demand for goods and services in 2024 and expect the problem to persist through 2025. HSBC surveyed 1,000 business owners, all with less than 50 staff. More than half said they were faced challenges this year from rising costs of running their business, while 22% struggled under higher interest rates. Nearly a quarter of SMEs said they did not have the resilience to survive financial shocks, with over 50% having less than 50K in the bank. Around 28% said they had no cash reserves at all. That is worrying, isn't it? I'm assuming some of them get, you know, overheads and all that stuff. In fact, Time Finance come into thought, because they lend to... British businesses have also raised concerns that increasing rate of employer national insurance and national minimum wage, part of the autumn budget, will bump up costs significantly. See, it's not just businesses throwing their toys out of the pram. This is resonating now for a long time, isn't it? Since that in a budget, it's still going on. It's a real concern. You know, and part of me thinks, in an odd way, it could be positive. Like I said, I think, you know, Reeves and Starmer are getting a lot of flack from this, and so they're trying to find ways of growing the economy. After all her talk of growth and investment, all they've managed to achieve, according to the OBR, is a growth rate of around about 1.4%, 1.5%, which is below the 20-year average of GDP growth in the UK. And finally, I wish I'd say this is a positive story. It's not. UK grocery inflation rises 2.6%, say Kantar. This is from Reuters. British shoppers faced increased pressure on their budgets last month after grocery price inflation edged higher. Market researcher Kantar said annual grocery price inflation was 2.6% in the 4 weeks to December the 1st, having been 2.3% in the previous four-week period. Prices are rising fastest in products such as toothbrushes, chilled smoothies and juices, and fragrances. What? Why, I'll be buying toothbrushes for Christmas, I suppose, I? The electric ones. There's some ridiculous prices for those, aren't there? You can get, you do feel sometimes certain gadgets are way over engineered. Like you can get now toothbrushes, about £200-300. And they've got Wi-Fi connected. They tell you if you're brushing too hard, and you can link to an app. I just think certain things, you don't need an app. You don't need an app for certain things, you know? Like an app for your toothbrush. You don't really need that. I've got an electric toothbrush that, you know, vibrates every 30 seconds. And every 2 minutes, there's a big vibrate. That's all you need, isn't it? And in fact, it's a little light that goes red if you're pressing too hard, which is handy. Anyway, falling fastest, prices falling fastest, including household paper products. Does that mean toilet roll? I don't. What does that mean? Kitchen roll, toilet roll? Anyway, paper products, dog food, and ambient savoury meals. Imagine going to, you know, inviting a girlfriend around for first date to your flat. Would you like an ambient savoury meal? Oh yes. This is my favourite ambient savoury meal, this. UK supermarkets have warned that tax rises in the new Labour government's first budget in October, together with another rise in national minimum wage, will be inflationary. Do you see every story that comes out, macro story about the UK, is related to the budget? It is having a significant lasting impact on business. Official data published last month showed overall UK inflation jumped by 2.3% in October, and data for November will be published on December the 18th. Where are we now? We're in 8 days' time, so it'll be, what are we, 11th, so Wednesday, week Wednesday, okay. Okay, time for some micro news. And like I said, I put this in context. I'm only looking for companies who can add to the Macrocap League, which are the best companies in regards to risk and reward, that are revenue-generating and profitable companies. And this is why I analyse these companies. So first of all, Digital Box, D-Box is ticker, the mobile-first digital media business, which owns leading websites, including Entertainment Daily, The Daily Mash, The Tab, The Poke, TV Guide, and Emmerdale Insider. Emmerdale Insider. It's pleased to announce an update to trading for 12 months to 31st of December. They've got a market cap of 6 million. And so the company expects revenue to be at least 3.5 million for financial year 2024, with EBITDA ahead of management's expectations. So this comes as trading across Digital Box's six brands have been stronger than management anticipated in the second half of the year, which is the company's biggest trading period. Audience volumes are strong, and there's been an early encouraging performance from group's latest from their latest website launch, Emmerdale Insider. Now, I do welcome this because, you know, it's a good trading update. It's positive, but how much growth is there in Emmerdale Insider? How big is the audience there? I don't know. Maybe there's a lot more. I remember my wife used to watch Emmerdale Insider years ago. Not Insider, Emmerdale. I couldn't think of a worse soap. I hate soaps anyway. But of the soaps, it's lucky to still be on TV, isn't it? Emmerdale Insider. I just genuinely don't want to be an outsider looking in anyway. But anyway, the forecasts here, they need to be updated. I went checked it out on Research Tree. And they've got revenue for 2024, 3 million versus 3 million this year. But they do see an improved profit performance. They're saying EBIT and EBITDA, both the same, of £500,000, and a profit before tax of 600,000. So that's from zero last year. So it's an improvement there, but these need to be upgraded. So I'm assuming the revenue's, you know, up by 16% on their trading update here. So EBITDA could go up to 580K. And maybe profit or tax could go up to 696K. So I think it's a nice bounce here, but can it scale? I'm not quite sure. With Emmerdale Insider, maybe. But I'm not convinced it's one for the Microcap League, to be honest. Next, Cambridge Cognition, the brain health software group. In fact, let me see where D-Box is today. It is up 17% today. Like I said, it's a very liquid share. And a bit of positive news will push it up. But I'm yet to convince it can scale much further, really, than that. Cambridge Cognizant COGS ticker, the brain health software company, announced a trading update for the year ended 31st December. Highlights revenue for year ended 31st, expected to be not less than 10 million, and adjusted EBITDA close to break even. Greater revenue visibility into 2025 with a strengthened strengthened order book of 13.5 million and a growing sales pipeline of over 34 million. Cash expect to be approximately 1 million at year end and expect to increase during 2025. There we are, so generating cash. 13 million market cap. Sales here, they're saying, it's gone down from 23, from 14 million to 10 million. I know they've done a sort of a restructuring and all this stuff. And so even though the sales are going down, the loss will be decreasing as well. So they're saying EBITDA, roundabout, they're saying break even. The broker's got a 200,000 loss, which is an improved from a million loss previously. So they're saying a profit for tax is going to be a loss of 1.8 million versus a loss of 3.5. And they are expected to get into profit in 2025, 1.1 million, but revenues are flat there. So looking at this, I mean, they will have a bounce, I think, because they're going from loss to profit. But there's no real growth going on from 25 to 26. But of course, they may land some contracts. So they might rally on the recovery, going from loss-making to profit. But it's not one for the microcap league yet. I question the scale here. They need to win some more contracts to convince me of scale. Next, Dynomi, DNM, a leading provider of native digital advertising services to premium clients in the business, finance, and lifestyle sectors, announces the following trading update for the end of the year to 31st December. Company now expects revenue for the year to be broadly in line with market expectations at around about 28 million and record a small loss at adjusted EBITDA level compared to the market expectation of a small profit. Uh-oh. That's not good, is it? They say, while traffic across the group's premium publisher base remains steady, the uplift from the US election was less pronounced than widely anticipated. Alongside this, demand for our premium advertiser base has been softer than expected. Cash at year-end is expected to be in line with market expectations at 7.8 million. And the company remains debt-free. So they've got a market cap here of 13 million. By the way, sorry, I keep forgetting to do this. Where is COG? COG is up 8.47%. So it is rallying a little bit there to 32 pence. Dynomi, so market cap of 13 million. Half of that, well, more than half of that, is cash, close to 8 million. But they're seeing a revenue of 28 million for 2024, down from 30 million last year. And they're seeing a profit before tax or loss before tax of 200K, which is an improvement of a loss before tax of half a million last year. But again, looking at the outer years, look at 31 million for 2025, 34 million, well, that's 10% growth for 2025. But nevertheless, the profit before tax is still 100K for 2025, 700K for 2026. Again, it's not one for the microcap league. I want scale, I want good growth there, and it's not doing that. Next, IXICO, IXI ticker, a global leader in neuroscience imaging using its AI-driven platform to help advance therapy research in neurological disorders, today announces it has signed a contract with a new US-headquartered client to provide imaging services for a phase 2 Huntington's disease clinical trial. The contract value to be delivered over 2.5 years is worth approximately £500,000. So, you know, was that 100 grand a year? Is that right? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so market cap of 10 million. They are rallying a bit today, 6.8%. But looking forward, there's for 2024, 25. What? Hey? What do you say? 2025, they're forecasting revenue of 6 million. This is up from 5.8. But the profit before tax is, loss before tax, 2 million forecast for 2025. And this is a slight improvement from 2.1 loss. So, yeah, there's no real revenue growth. Forecast to be loss-making for 2025. So it's not one for the microcap league because you have to have growth, you have to be profitable. So it's not one for the microcap league. Next, Orchard Funding, ORCH, the finance company which specialises in insurance premium finance and the professionals funding, or the professions funding market, is pleased to announce its audited full year results to the 31st of July. They've got a market cap of 5 million, net total income of 6.88 million versus 5.6, so that's improved. Profit before tax of 2.12 million versus 2.17, so dipped a little bit. And cash, of 1.48 million versus 2.55. So that's also dipped. So expecting forecasts for next year to go, well, flat sales pretty much, and profit for tax to dip to 1.8 from 2.2. So little revenue growth, no profit for tax growth until 2025, when apparently they're going to be going back to 2 million from 1.8 in 24. They're going to increase sales by 1 million to 9, or net income. So yeah, it's not going to scale, is it? So it's not one for the Microcap League. Next, Tortilla Mexican Grill. Mex is ticker there. They say they're the largest and most successful fast casual Mexican restaurant group in the UK and Europe. Wow. Well, it's quite a niche market, I suppose, isn't it? Fast casual Mexican restaurants. How many of those are there? Chains. Anyway, they are the biggest and most successful. Market cap, 20 million. They say they're trading in line with management expectations. This is obviously a trading update for the year ended 29th of December. Adjusted net debt at financial year for the period is expected to be 7.3 million. So the expectations are this. So from 66 million top line in 23 to 67 in 24. So, you know, they expect to go from a profit before tax of 200K in 23 to a loss before tax of 200K. So, yeah, net debt is also increasing. But it's going from 1.3 to 7.2. So, very little growth, no profit before tax growth, and debt increasing. It's not one for the Microcap League. Thank you very much. Next, Naked Wines. Wine is ticker, half year results for 26 weeks ended 30th of December. Market cap 43 million. Total revenue of 112. This is, half year results, 30th of September, sorry. I'm stumbling along. 112.3 million top line versus 132, so it's a drop of 15%. Statutory loss for tax of 5.6 million versus 9.7. It's an improvement, but still quite a big chunky loss. It's improved by 42%, but still a chunky loss. Net cash, excluding lease liabilities, of 22.9 million versus 2.8. That's an improvement of 716% cash-wise. Now, I did look at this and I thought, right, they paid off about close to 13 million in debt. So that's why that net cash figure has improved. But hopefully they're going to improve on earnings, because that'll whittle away quickly. And they did say, outlook, early peak season trading has been solid. Liquidity and cash continue to improve. They say financial year 25 performance is currently expected to be in line with the guidance previously given. And they talk about US inventory in line, remains overstocked. And they say a performance review is underway, proactively evaluating options to maximise shareholder value. We will report back at the end of the year. Well, I know what you're going to do. You're probably going to do a buyback or pay a dividend. But let's have a look. So they're expected to, for 2024, 246 million top line from 290. So that's a big drop there. I can only get earnings per share here. It's expected to go from, where is it? Well, expect to break even, basically. Zero earnings per share for 2024 compared to 0.05 in 2023. So no revenue growth forecast, no meaningful EPS growth until 2025, pretty much. Again, it's not one for the Microcap League. Next, Pennant International. Pen is ticker, P-E-N. the system support software and training solutions company. So please provide the following business update. Their market cap of 12 million. In fact, let's see how Naked Wines are doing here. Naked Wines, where are you, Naked? They're down 2%, 56 pence. Mex is down, no, it's up, sorry, 2.72% to 53 pence. Yeah, Orchard Funding is up 8.3% to 23 pence. Penn is up, well, a third of 1% at 28 pence. But this is their trading update. So 12 million market cap. This is for the year ended the 31st of December. This is the inline market expectations. Revenues of approximately 14 million and adjusted earnings before tax, well, EBITDA of 1.2. They say they're repositioning the business and they'll take out about 2 million of annual costs, but it will cost them $500,000 to put that in, that cost-saving measures. So these are forecasts here. For 2024, they're expecting 14.1 top line from 15.5, so no revenue growth there. Profit for tax is going to go from $500,000 profit for tax in 23 to $400,000 loss in 2024. And even then, 2025, looking at $100,000 of profit for tax. That can easily get wiped out, can't it? And then in 2026, they're looking at $1 million of profit for tax. But again, that's far off, you know. So it's not one for the Microcap League, again. Solid State, who did warn, profit warning a few weeks back, a specialist, Solly is ticker there, specialist value-added component supplier and design in manufacturer of computing power and communications products, announces interim results to the 30th of September. Market cap, 70 million. So revenue, 61.8 million versus 88.1, so down 30% pretty much. Profit for tax of 1.2 versus 6 million. A net debt of 2 million versus 3.9. So it's an improvement there. But nevertheless, looking forward for the year, they're expecting to do 123 million top line. This is versus last year of 163. And looking at profit for tax of 4 million, down from 15.6. So no revenue growth. They're looking to grow in 2026 from a lower base. They're looking to go from, you know, from 123 for 2025 to 133, and the profit for tax is looking to improve, well, 50% from 4 million in 2025 to 6 million. But as yet, these are forecasts. They say they're not fact. So wait and see, but it's not one for Microcap League right now. That's it. There's quite a few out there today. Thanks for listening, and speak to you tomorrow. Oh, don't forget to buy the book. You go to sharepickers.com, the book, and then you can see all the outlets. At the moment, Amazon are giving you 23% off, but it will not arrive until the 8th of January. They are a bit pessimistic on delivery dates. Because they don't disappoint. And I've been told that they will deliver faster than that, generally. But that's the worst-case scenario. Okay. Thanks for listening. Speaky tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows you don't want to sacrifice reliability for savings. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select LG appliances and purchase two or three select major appliances to get an additional 10% off. Save big on LG, America's most reliable line of home appliances at Lowe's. Based on independent reliability surveys 2021 to 2024 and select major appliances as compared to competing manufacturers offering full appliance lines. See associate for more details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Exclusions apply. Valid 6/18 through 7/9.